everyone. How are you doing today? This is Dr. Sumer with my pep talk. And today on my pep talk, I will answer a question that was put to me twice in today's live sessions. Today I did two live webinars. One I did for Uttarakhand Government Medical Students Association. And I was talking to the students there, and one of the students asked me a question that how to deal with the anxiety around today. And then the second time I was doing a live webinar for DAM students on YouTube channel, on DAM City YouTube channel. Again, there were a few students asking the same question to me, how to deal with the anxiety of competition, anxiety of the exams, how to deal with it. And I was thinking about it that, although I'm not a psychiatry professional, but I have been into various situations in my life where I would have felt anxious about what I'm doing. So how do I tackle it, and can I help the youngsters by discussing my strategy over it? I thought I'll make a podcast on it. Now, what happens here is how I manage anxiety today and how I managed anxiety during my own exam times. Being from a middle class background, the exams were fairly decently stressful situation for us as well. And how do I manage anxiety today as a entrepreneur? How do I manage anxiety in current times? I think I work on two principles, and if you follow these two principles, I think you will be able to, get a hang of it. The principle number one that I follow is what I term as detached passion. And it's a very paradoxical word, but, this is something which I truly believe in, I truly practice it, is detached passion. Now, what do I mean by this is, I mean that when I'm working, and whenever I'm, wanting to do something, I'm, working for a project or working for an exam, I try my best to detach myself from the outcome. I try my best to detach myself from what would happen in the end. However, I want you to understand, however, that doesn't mean that I'm not emotional about the cause or I'm not passionate about the cause. I'm very, very passionate about what I'm doing. But I tend to put my passion, my energy, my madness onto the task that I'm doing. I like what I'm doing. I enjoy what I'm doing. And I don't take too much load on the outcome. I keep telling myself that there are only two outcomes possible. Either you will win or you will learn. These are the only two outcomes possible. I don't believe in winning or losing. I only believe either you will win or you will learn. And that takes the anxiety off me, because I am not anxious, because I'm not looking at it as a ultimate defeat. The anxiety happens when you think that this is my only attempt, this is the only opportunity I'm going to have. And what happens is, when you start thinking those lines, you put an undue stress on yourself. I want you to know, this is like, the world is full of opportunity today. So this is not the only thing we can do. We can do so many things, and you can tell yourself this, and you can detach yourself from the outcome. Okay, but be passionate about the cause. Let me, put it in other words for you. Like, for example, this time when I was interviewing a lot of toppers after the June 2020 results, a few of them said the same line, and, I thought I would resonate the line to you as well. They said, "Sir, I was studying because I was enjoying studying. I thought, let's give the exam and dekhte kya hota hai." You understand that thing? That is the kind of feeling that would help you. That let's give the exam, let's enjoy the study, and let's see what happens. Let's not get bogged down by the outcome. Now, on the other hand, I keep meeting students, candidates who would say, "Sir, I want a top 10 in AIIMS only. I want only top 10, sir. I want only top 10. Now, what happens is, you're always talking about the outcome. You're not talking about the process. You're not talking about the effort that we put in. And that is what, I have termed as, given a term as detached passion. And when I look around at entrepreneurs, high achievers in life, I look at, doctors, I feel that, this detachment from outcome. is there in all high achievers. They do their best, but they don't, you know, punish themselves for a wrong outcome if they have done their best. You have to, you know, find this. This is a very, you know, two paradox words which actually, you know, don't go together. You know, you can't be detached and passionate at the same time. But when you see them in perspective of detachment from outcome, passionate about the cause, is the mantra of success. You know, for example, if I, you know, look back today, and I say when we started with dams, we never started to build up a big organization. That was not our idea ever. The only idea we had, and I also still have, is I love teaching. That's the only thing I know. I love teaching. So, you know, so I'm so passionate about it that it doesn't really matter if I'm teaching in a college as a professor or I'm teaching in dams or I own the system, or it's like, it doesn't really matter to me the outcome. What matters to me is what I'm doing. So I think if you can somehow learn this trick of detaching yourself from the outcome, you would manage the anxiety part. The second thing I want to tell you is you know, slightly difficult to understand at the first go, and you will not agree with me, but I'll tell you how I, you know, diffuse out anxiety in my own case. So when I was appearing for my own MD entrance exam, being from a middle class background, we had, you know, no backups or any kind of plan Bs. And radiology was the branch that I liked always, and this is something which I wanted to join. So, but to reduce the anxiety to myself at that time, I was talking to my father and I said, you know, Papa, even if I get, you know, anesthesia, I'll do it. I would not have done it. I'm telling you the truth is I would not have done it. I never wanted to do anesthesia. But just to diffuse off the tension in the environment and tension in the, I said, even if I get anesthesia, I'll do it. I'm relaxed. I'll do my best in the paper and whatever, you know, but I wanted to do radiology. That is my secret. But I you know, to make it ease on myself, I said, okay, like this. And then I used to also joke around that if I don't get into PG, I'll you know, give PLAB and go to UK and all those things. But I did not want to go to UK. I did not want to do anesthesia. I wanted to do radiology. That was very clear on my mind. That, you know, I would diffuse out the tension. So I never actually created an environment of tension in family, because you need those places where people are relaxed about it. If they are also tense about it, everybody is tense about it, who's going to act as your buffer zone? So, you know, in family and in non-medical friends, I say that I have multiple opportunities I'm trying to seek. But in my heart of hearts, I knew what I wanted to do. But I never let that tension spread around me, because anxiety, when it spreads around into people around you, it starts reflecting back to you. And I think what happens is all that anxiety somewhere starts affecting your performance as well. Now, you would agree, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but I have, you know, when I was interviewing a lot of candidates, I met, I think, 4 or 5 candidates. These candidates had not done well in the AIMS exam, but they did well in the JIPMER exam this year. And when I asked them, when I interviewed them, I probed them, I asked them that what has happened in the AIMS exam. And I realized there was a common factor in at least 4 candidates that in the AIMS exam, because that was chronologically the first exam that was happening, they were overwhelmed by the situation. They were very anxious. They wanted to be in AIMS. They were very, very anxious. And because of that over anxiety, the free mind which is required to win in the exam, which is required to make educated guesses, the decisiveness was not there. They were tentative. And in that tentativeness, they killed their ranks in the AIMS exam. By the time they gave the PGI exam and they gave the JIPMER exam, this was the third exam that was happening. They were used to competitive exams and the results being declared. They were kind of used to it. And this time they had no pressure, because they were like thinking, hey, you know, this is a very difficult ball game. It's probably not for me. They were relaxed. They gave a relaxed JIPMER exam and ended up getting a ranked one in top 20 in the JIPMER exams. So anxiety does play a role. You can't, you know, deny it. So how, you know, third thing I would suggest to, you know, manage anxiety is practice. Now, if I give multiple tests, like in labs, we have 4 CBTs left right now. You know, we've done one already. We have 4 CBTs left right now, which would happen in a computer center, God willing, and, you know, COVID pandemic settling. So when you go to the computer centers and give the exam, you get the anxiety. But if you have been exposed to this anxiety multiple times, you tend to get desensitized. And when you're desensitized, you, by the time you reach the real exam, you feel as if you're giving a mock exam and the body is accustomed to it. And I've seen this with multiple toppers in the past. They would say that I used to give the damn CBT as if I'm giving the final exam. And I used to give the final exam as if this is a damn CBT. Now, this is what the mindset is all about. Anxiety is a great limiting step here. And we know this situation today in the world is becoming even more anxiety provoking. You know, this is not like, you know, suppose you keep thinking about what would happen with this pandemic, you know, what would happen if somebody gets infected, what would happen and all. You would create so much anxiety onto yourself that you would not be able to perform what you are supposed to do as a doctor or as a student. While if you keep focusing on the process, the outcomes automatically improve. Somewhere I believe this has been taught to us in all religious texts as well. I believe that there is a lot more depth into these two words that, you know, if somehow somebody can pick them up and understand, there is a lot to be gained from these words. Detachment from the outcome, passionate for the cause. I wish you all the best.
Hello everyone, I hope all of you are doing fine and I hope all of you are having a good time in this festive season. And I thought, you know, as we inch towards the end of this year 2020, as we inch towards the, and I'm so happy when I'm saying it, end of this huge year of 2020, which, you know, actually dragged on for long, you know, a sense of hope is now, you know, prevailing over all of us. You know, we are all so hopeful about 2021. So I thought I'll use this medium to wish you all a very, very happy new year in advance. And I sincerely hope that for you and your family members and for everybody connected to you, this turns out to be a magnificent year. And when we look back at 2020, we know that this was not a clear-cut, you know, black and white kind of a zone of year. It was like a gray year. We had, you know, this is the first time I think in our own lifetimes that we might have seen something as big as a pandemic. I could have never imagined in my life that there would be a year where there would be government enforced lockdowns, where would be an year where you could not go out, where you would be tied up between the interstate borders. And we've seen all this. We've seen all this year. So this was not an easy year. But in every dark cloud, there's always a silver lining. And I think the silver lining for this year's, you know, dark cloud would be the, you know, the ability that all of us have seen, the ability of our own self as a human being, as an organization, as a family, the ability, that resilience that we all have, the ability to survive, the survival instincts, we've all seen that firsthand. And, you know, I'm sure it should have, and I'm sure it will, it has all left us stronger. It is like, you know, we are now looking at things like, you know, we have been shown face to face with our fears, you know. So if somebody had described this year to me beforehand, I would have been afraid of it. But now that we have been able to tackle the situation, we have been able to manage, you know, yourself, your family, your business, your life, your profession. You know, we all feel stronger about it. And I think that is a big positive takeaway from this year, that, you know, if we can handle this, we can handle anything else as well. I think this gives us a lot of confidence into the resilience that we all have. And I want to tell you that you all have ability to do much more than what you have done this year. And in the long run, the skills that you have accumulated in this year would be, you know, would be an asset, because we never would have gotten the time to do this. Like, you know, for example, I started podcasting in 2020, and you know, I would not have done it otherwise in my busy schedule and running here and there. Now it is a part and parcel of my life to talk to all of you, and I'm so happy that we have a community, a family with which I can communicate through the podcast medium as well. So, you know, there would be positive takeaways from this scenario. I've learned a lot of things in 2020. And I think, you know, all of us have, you know, I've learned how much effective we can be even if we are at home, and how much value we can create through internet, through technology, and how much of evolution is possible. Like, we saw that in our own app. In the beginning of the year, we were at a different stage, and by the end of the year, we ended up, you know, in the top 5 by Pradhan Mantri App Innovation Challenge as well. So I think, you know, there are things that are positive, and we all have, you know, done a lot of things that we never thought we'll be able to do. And I'm sure, you know, we all, you know, have evolved to the next level. I think the problems or the, you know, tough situations actually accelerate evolution. The evolution would have happened anyhow. We would have learned all this. But the tough situations, they accelerated it. That is, I think, the biggest take-home message from 2020 for all of us. Second thing that I learned in 2020, and I want all of you also to spend a moment to count our blessings. I have learned to be grateful for what I have, and I'm sure, you know, all of us have suddenly realized the value of family, the value of, you know, I have friends and, you know, colleagues in dams, teachers who were always traveling, and now many of them value the time they could get with their children. And, you know, if today you are healthy, your parents, your family, your children, your husband, your wife, you know, your friends, if they are all healthy, it's time to feel grateful for it. Gratitude is something that, you know, you understand the value of what you have when you are, you know, facing a situation where you could lose it all. And I think this year we have all learned the gratitude and the value of gratitude. We have all felt it somewhere. That is the, you know, said. So I think this has been an year of resilience, year of gratitude. But to end the year, I would want to tell you, this year is also the year of science and medicine. As a doctor, I feel proud that, you know, in this pandemic, you know, you would agree, everybody failed us. The governments all across the board, the administration, they kind of messed it all up. The only people who were doing things right were the people in healthcare. Rightly, you know, people would call them COVID warriors, or, you know, say, you know, whatever you may say. But I think we've, as doctors, we've done much more than that. And not only as doctors, if we increase the circumference of the word scientists and the people of science. People of science have delivered majorly, you know. At the end of this year, you know, we started the pandemic in the beginning of the year, and by the end of the year, there are 2 vaccines in America and UK which are already, you know, US FDA authorized for usage. So I think, you know, these are the positive take-homes from this year's pandemic, that, you know, we have been able to create, we have been able to improvise, and that builds, that puts the trust, our trust, back onto the science is the, you know, the powerful tool which has, you know, stood the test of time. And we've learned that, you know, with science and technology, things are possible. And I'm sure, you know, that all tells us that we are in safe hands. Doctors are important. Healthcare is important. Research is important. And these are like things that everybody has learned, not only us. I think the most of the leaderships in the world have also understood the value of having hospitals, having paying doctors. We saw in some states in India, the stipends of doctors, which were pending for so many years, have been increased to proper levels. I think, you know, there are positive take-home messages from this year. So, you know, all I want you to do is, we look at 2021 with hope that it would be, things will be better, we will be going back to normalcy, and you'll be able to do more and more in 2021, I'm sure. But another thing that I want you to look back at 2021 is, please look back at 2021 with gratitude. Look back at 2020 with gratitude that you are healthy, your loved ones are healthy and safe. Look back at things that you have. Count your blessings. Feel happy about them. And also congratulate yourself for your resilience, for your ability to adapt and ability to deliver despite the challenges. And I'm sure it will tell you that you will be able to face any challenge in future as well. I take this opportunity to wish you all the best and wish you a very, very happy new year in advance. From the entire DAMS family, I wish you the best always. God bless you.